Good morning. Today is Friday, the 29th of July. Last weekday of July. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Life is going fast.
The summer's flying.
Yes. Joining us this morning is Provost from Cal Poly Humboldt, Jen Capps. Now people are stumbling if they don't get it smooth.
Right?
I guess it's happened. Yeah, I wouldn't want to throw Yana under the bus, but yeah.
But you are going to do that
anyway? No, I wouldn't do that to her.
You're getting the name right, though. Now you only have a giggle afterwards, but you get it right at the first go.
No,
so it
was a pause just because you're here. I mean, I think it's evolved, I think.
Yeah.
But I still am kind of curious, and we'll get to our question. Why was there an option made? You know, if a kid had gone through 5 years of education in Arcata, four of it were at Humboldt State and one was at Cal Poly. Why did they get the option?
The option to what?
To choose whether or not they graduated from a polytech or not.
Once the name changed, you get the new name. But actually, we wanted to leave the option for people, once they entered the institution, if they wanted a little nostalgia and stick with Humboldt State, that they could have it. But the incoming freshman class here in a couple of weeks, it's Cal Poly Humboldt all the way.
No choice.
You got it.
I wonder why schools got the phrase institution or the name institution associated with it, as are mental institutions, and medical institutions.
That's a dangerous
incarceration.
Bureaucracy.
Casual reference, outside looking in.
All right.
Are you ready for our why do we say that?
You bet.
Why do we say something is carved in stone?
I have not a clue. You stump me every time. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I would think that it was because something was permanent carved in stone. Okay, kind of there. If you cite a long prevalent social standard as a guide for present-day conduct, someone is likely to protest that it's not carved in stone. Alive and well today, this saying is rooted in antiquity. One of the scripture's most dramatic stories describes the encounter in which Moses received the Ten Commandments. Artists typically depict the bearded prophet descending from the mountain carrying these important rules of conduct. They are carved in stone, so that no word, not even a single letter, could be altered. Standards of behavior or inherited ways, compared with the laws received by Moses, may be dismissed as not being carved in stone. That is, they're far from timeless or that they are subject to change.
Wow.
Like names. On institutions.
It could be. Well done.
Oh. So, is everybody comfortable now with the transition, or is there still elements of going from one to the other, the evolution?
I think for the most part, most people are comfortable and happy with the transition. There's always little things here and there, you know, that come up for people. I think still worry about the number of people that are going to be coming into town and how we're going to house people and transportation impact. But to be perfectly honest, you know, we were talking about this the other day. It's going to be the first time our campus has been populated at a considerable amount in 3 years because of the pandemic. And then we've seen a bit of an increase in enrollment. Not a huge jump yet, but definitely, you know, we had been free falling for about 6 years. And then the pandemic, so the campus, there hadn't been anybody on it in quite a long time. So it will feel really different.
Pressure's on the maintenance team to get those weeds taken care of.
Right?
You rolled your eyes, but sounds like it's been part of the discussion points in the last couple of weeks, getting ready for
absolutely
the new wave of kids.
Absolutely, because it really hasn't. I've been here, it's been 2 years almost to the day, and I haven't had a full campus full of students in the entire time I've lived
here. You haven't had parking problems?
No. I know that people keep saying that's a thing.
Get ready, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
I'll believe it when I see it. I lived in the city, so I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it.
It might be relative, but our relatives up here are not accustomed to walking more than two blocks.
Okay. Well, we'll see. That's what I keep hearing, but I've not experienced it yet.
I presume you have one of those all anywhere parking passes.
I ride my bike sometimes, so to yield my spot to somebody else. So
not in March.
Yeah. We'll see.
The city slicker. Yeah.
Right.
Wearing a slicker. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
They talk about oftentimes in business challenges for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And too often the macho approach is growth at all costs,
mm-hmm.
not realizing the costs associated with growth
mm-hmm.
also. So as the foundationals are being put in place, maybe not for this year, maybe not for next year, but certainly the projection is an elevated one for mm-hmm. the school. What are some of the concerns about growth? You mentioned the housing. Okay, but that's off campus as much as anything else. But on campus, can you get there today? Is this a tomorrow project? Is this a 5-year project? Where does the growth mm-hmm. tensions really start?
Yeah, I mean, I think the approach has been doing a phased approach, really thinking through and making sure that we don't miss any of these potential issues. But I think for me, the biggest thing, there's two big things. It's ensuring student success, because I don't want to bring a lot of students here and then have them not do well. So that's one part. And then also, honestly, employee health and satisfaction. I think that you know, anywhere from sort of your administrative support on up to the president. I mean, administrative support and staff folks, I think, get taxed perhaps a little bit more and get less of the, I don't know, air quote glory than maybe I do, where I get to sit and talk to you or talk about the neat things going on. And we come up with a lot of initiatives to support students, but it's a lot of work for people. And so I don't want people to feel like they're not appreciated.
Yeah, or participating in it.
Exactly. So it's building out all the infrastructure of support for not only the students, but the employees too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. Jen, the concept of the infrastructure, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm talking to a city manager
mm-hmm.
or department head, okay, infrastructure is pretty clearly defined. I would suspect that most of us don't have a clue what educational infrastructure is.
Okay,
we got the classrooms, okay, parking lots, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole lot more involved than just that. Even the library.
Uh-huh.
Okay, is it the classroom? Well, not really. Is it part of the infrastructure of the campus? Yeah.
Right.
So are the dorms, so are the food, so mm-hmm. are the gyms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's the status of the, or the condition of, the infrastructure?
So if... Boy, that's a big question. I mean, on-campus infrastructure and academics, like that whole side of things. I mean, the library, it's interesting. The library just reopened a couple of months ago after a couple of years of being closed. And then due to some, I think some earthquake retrofitting and that sort of thing, the library, if you haven't been to the library, is a pretty amazing space because it's really an innovative space that has lots of, it has a... oh my gosh, what is the word? A flight simulator in it. It has all kinds of different sort of interactive and innovative equipment. But
like an arcade?
Even better than that. Oh,
the big stuffed animals are there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then an Adamage table is what they call it. And it's basically, think of the game Operation from like when you're a kid, but kind of a life-size one that you can dissect and electronically on a big screen and learn about organs and that sort of stuff. So there's all kinds of things like that that make, I don't know, really fun and a cool and interactive space. Libraries really need to redefine themselves because it's not often that people go and check out books in the same way that, that we have 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I would think other than the historical, the Humboldt Room,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some of the research.
Yeah.
I walked by those.
Yeah.
Those research binders and the magazines that
exactly.
have gotten go back. Other than that,
right.
It's probably not, everything's probably digitized.
Yeah. But with respect to other infrastructure, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, we have lots of academic departments and programs and grant offices and those types of things. But one thing that we really think about, I think, at Cal Poly Humboldt is, of course, we have classrooms and labs and that sort of thing. But we really try to pride ourselves on getting our students out of the classroom and getting out into the field. And so while we have some really high quality things on campus and we're working to build out more of that, we do really want to get students in the forest, out on the water, in partnership with tribal partners, all that kind of stuff. And so, where does the classroom begin and end? We want that to be kind of fuzzy.
It's kind of like where the office is.
Where
you are now.
Right, exactly. And then how much do you, it's an interesting thing to think about coming back. I feel like we're in an endemic kind of phase with COVID at this point, and we've repopulated campus and we'll be welcoming students, like I say, back in a way that we haven't in the last couple of years. But how much remains sort of virtual online instruction? How much do we force everybody to be in-person meetings all the time? What's the balance? You mentioned parking, right? Does everybody have to be on campus all at the same time in the same way anymore?
Well, that's kind of been the argument that many of us have had about having night classes mm-hmm. and weekends. It's like if you're employed somewhere, you probably are working one or both of those days, or maybe your work schedule is a 10 to 8.
You bet.
Or a noon to 10 kind of thing instead of that 8 to, 8 to 2 is kind of what the goal was, Monday, mm-hmm. Wednesday, Friday.
Right?
Nice try, guys.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I think, one thing that I say a lot on campus and trying to help folks to think a little bit differently is how to, rather than have prospective students have to adapt to what our schedules are and how we've been doing things, how do we get from them what they need and then have the institution adapt to what they need. And folks kind of look at me confused and furrow eyebrows. And I say, but think of all the students we're missing, because they've walked right on by because the class schedule or the way that we're approaching education doesn't work for them.
Well, I've always been intrigued by the concept. And I know there are certain schools that are more designed to handle this. And mm-hmm. some argue it's the community college system. But take a class at night,
mm-hmm.
A business class, not through SBDC,
mm-hmm.
a real legit sit down homework. You may know more than the teacher, but then mm-hmm. you have the chance to interact and both learn.
Absolutely.
Night class, but so few have been ever offered.
Right.
Or they're either the real basic ones
mm-hmm.
or the super duper advanced taught at once every five semesters.
Right.
It's like, nah.
Yeah, that's changing. We're working on changing that and looking more at evening, weekend, virtual, as well as the regular swath of classes. The other thing that I want to look at too is, rather than a 16, 17 week semester, what about an 8 week? What about two semesters within a semester, right? So you can knock out an intensive class or two. And then maybe you go off to do something else. I mean, there's different ways to structure things, I think, that work better for students. I think the other piece is how to, you mentioned community college and more of the technical trade kind of pieces. And I feel like Humboldt can do a good job of incorporating the comprehensive, the holistic education and the credentialing. And so that's something that we're really attempting to align ourselves with is workforce licensing, making sure that students are ready for those pieces, because frankly, that's what our workforce needs.
Yeah. And not only that, but what a lot of them are looking for,
yeah.
just not a requirement, just, I need a brush up. I need a this or the credential, the six week programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got it.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt Provost Jen Capps. This is your first position as provost, right?
This is my first provost position. You got it.
You feel comfortable with the title yet?
Sure. It's a weird thing to have people call you, you know, sort of air quote provost rather than my name is Jen. Right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah. Although, I mean, I was a dean before and I guess a little bit of that, but there's a little bit of a mystique or a thing with the term provost. It's odd. Nobody knows what it means, but it feels important for people to say it to you. So it's odd. So maybe less comfortable than I thought, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it would be kind of a kick. Not that I would ever be there, but to get like a t-shirt. Provost means, and wear it around.
Right?
Probably get everybody else at that level mad because you're just trying to be a regular guy and gal. Uh-huh. This is what I do.
Yeah, it is an interesting feeling. I had a little bit of this when I was a dean back in Denver, but more so here, and maybe also because it's a smaller community where people say hello to me and know me, and I don't sometimes know who they are. And I'm like, what?
That's also the aging process.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. That's kind of what makes it. At least there's a connection, and that's the thing that I think is really a kick in the pants about being in a community like this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Of course, I'm not spending time in a community not like this, so what's my reference point?
I'll affirm your statement, though, because it's an amazing place to live.
When the students/families start showing up in the next week or two, are you ready?
Oh, I think so. I think we're ready. We're excited. It's going to be a hopping place. We've done a lot to get ready. It sounds silly, but better food, better programming, better events. I mean, it's an exciting time.
Well, good can always be bettered.
Right? Exactly.
Right.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So, lots of enthusiasm. We have a new cohort of faculty. We have 22 new faculty coming in this year.
Have you broken them in yet?
Uh-huh. They've not gotten here yet, but we're excited.
None of them came during the summertime?
I'm sure they have, but I mean, faculty contracts don't start until August, so.
They're just ignoring you until it counts.
They're getting all the rest that they can and getting ready and settled because they have to prepare to be on with our faculty.
Well, maybe you'll see them out stomping around on the trails or down on the beach or something.
Oh, 100%. And we're doing some neat things with Eureka and Arcata and doing some kind of co-sponsoring, maybe sponsor is the wrong word, but conspiring together to do some events to welcome in families and people, especially spouses and families.
Kind of like the VAM tours, that concept of just familiarizing folks with the area.
Absolutely, and connecting people with each other, because sometimes it can be hard, I think, for, you know, it's easier perhaps for the employee to, you know, get connected with the department, that sort of thing. But when the spouse and partner come, it's like, how do I connect with other people?
So. Probably what the Coasties go through, too, when they rotate out.
Yeah, exactly.
They rotate in. You just kind of free fall, and then there's the net, and you go forward with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're asked a ton of times, but what's the enrollment look like?
So we're between 5,500 and 6,000. That's what we're projecting. And so, like I said, the last previous 5 to 6 years, we were literally in a free fall. And so what we had projected this year was that we would still be down about 100 students. And it's, in fact, right now we're up 200-400 students. We won't know for sure. The enrollment pattern is a little bit different this year. We have two confounding variables coming out of the pandemic and Cal Poly. both of those things have altered sort of the registration and admission process a little bit. But we've noted people are coming in and confirming a little bit later. What we're seeing is a big jump in first-time freshman students, a huge jump, actually.
Well, that's kind of where you want it. You don't want it on the guys and gals that are going to be gone in a year.
Exactly. Yeah. So huge jump there, which is, to me, is the Cal Poly thing.
And those are the folks that really need the what's going on in town,
mm-hmm.
or in the community.
Yep.
Kinds of things. Is there, this the one word I can never pronounce,
Ombudsman?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
That word. The Nordic O word.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there a formal process, or is it kind of like, here's the welcome bag, you'll see some coupons and some brochures and some handouts, go forth and have fun?
Are you talking about for students or faculty or both?
Both.
Okay.
I mean, they're all in the same boat.
For students, there has been a formal process, and we're looking to elevate that experience. So those things, but also a lot of the formal orientation and programming. We have a whole program. Right now it's optional. I hope we're working to make it not optional in the future, called Place-Based Learning Communities, where students get put into cohorts according to what their major and interest is, and it's a way to acclimate them to other students, to the faculty they'll be working with. And then
you mean like pizza or hamburger?
kind of.
Okay.
But it also connects them with a project and some way to do community service or learn about the area.
Okay, so kind of like the seniors at the high schools. You know, they've got their mm-hmm. senior project.
Yeah, so sort of like that. And doing that when they first come in. And so we've have about double the amount of students in that than we did last year, which is intentional to try to connect the students together. And then with faculty and staff, really have some more structured kind of mentoring things. And like I said, conspiring with Eureka and others to do some welcome back events and different things to just connect people in a more formal way.
Yeah, I would think, you know, even if it's just stomping through Headwaters or the National Park.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many of them even know that those exist. It's just always interesting, and the same, obviously, for the faculty
mm-hmm.
and staff. Housing on campus.
Mm-hmm.
If it's all full, not that it is, but if it is all full, what is the carrying capacity of that?
So it is, we are working with a local partner at a hotel, so we've actually have a partnership with a hotel that...
Red Lion?
No. Okay. Not Red Lion.
That's one of the rumors that's floating around, is that the school has bought... We're having a partnership with the Red Lion, and that's going to be used as a dorm until the other places get built out.
No. There's a local hotel in Arcata, and we're in partnership with them. And essentially, our student, it's going to be like a student dorm, essentially, for this year. No, I don't think it's a secret.
Which one is it then?
Comfort Inn. Comfort Inn over in Arcata, yeah. And so a lot of the overflow of our students is going into that place. So there's 96 beds, I believe, in that space. We had to reconfigure.
And everybody gets their own bathroom?
It's a pretty sweet deal, actually.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you earn the privilege on that one instead of, sorry, we're full and you're going to have to take the shuttle.
Yeah, you know, you have a roommate, but it's a pretty sweet...
Well, not so good now.
Well, okay. You have a roommate, and we're gearing it toward upper-class students because it's a little bit off-campus, but what that's allowing for is then clearing out some spaces on campus to house more of our first-year students. So, yeah, that's happening right now, and then other students are finding housing, so it's flushing out okay. So I think we're going to land in a good spot.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hi folks, Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps. Jen, if somebody hasn't been on campus, mm-hmm. 10 years.
Okay.
Okay, or maybe they just show up to a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. They haven't really seen what is. What's the biggest shocker? You probably deal with it with some of the alumni coming back, and they are looking at it and going, okay, what's this Poly thing?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? There's not a polywog in the middle of the campus. What would the difference on the physical experience?
I think the difference, the coolest thing, the difference with the physical experience is really about the student experience and the student union area, because there's lots of new food vendors. There's lots of hangout space. There's lots of, I mean, for lack of games, video games, lots of places for students to hang out.
Sorry, the bookstore is not there anymore.
In Connect, yeah. And so we were really, it was a little bit, we were having a little bit of trouble letting go of sort of the old school model of a bookstore, right? Just as I was talking about the library, students nowadays, for the most part, they're purchasing their books online. Or they're renting them.
Lease a software program for a year.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the sort of the days of the college bookstore are shifting and changing a little bit. So we still have a spot on campus where students can pick up physical books and that sort of thing. But that space, that large space, wasn't necessary. So we repurposed that space to be really student facing, to house different programming for students and that sort of thing. So that, to me, is probably the biggest, coolest difference. I think in other ways, it's not that different. Like I said, we haven't been fully populated in a couple of years because of the pandemic. I think what's to come is what's going to be most exciting, because we have academic buildings and housing projects, and then the combination of both. So having mixed use spaces on campus that are really going to be this, what do we call it? Like the front door of our campus that is going to look really cool in the next couple of years. So lots of building projects on the horizon for our engineering programs, our science programs, those sorts of things.
You know, just saying that there's an engineering program is kind of cool for some of us.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, there's been an environmental engineering program for a long time, but, you know, we have mechanical engineering, software engineering, energy systems engineering, a master's in engineering, all coming on board in a year. So it's an amazing, it gives me chills, actually. It's really exciting.
Do you have the space for all of that?
We've got it. Because again, like I said, obviously we're needing to build out spaces and stuff, but we have a fair amount of space, and not all instruction is done in classroom on physical campus. It really is about getting out into the community. So we're working through some of the space stuff. I mean, that is certainly a consideration, but.
Well, and some of the, like you said, the old use, some of the rooms that, you know, it's tough to move 3 foot wide concrete walls.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got it.
At least I understand. Didn't spend any time instructional engineering either.
Oh, yeah.
That was more in the softy area.
Right.
What a shocker.
All right.
Oh, campus is open. Is it? I know there's been a push to get the community just to come on campus. Are there, I think this gets back to your parking, because we are dinosaurs.
Okay.
Are there parking spots available for community members? Or is it do the battle? Because, you know, let's say you have a lunch, okay, 12 to 1:30. You're probably not going to find too many parking spots close enough just to kind of show up, hang out, go visit the library, see some of those types of things.
Gotcha.
I've always thought that that would be cool if there was, and it'd have to be another color. You know, couldn't be blue, obviously. It couldn't be green or yellow or red, but some color, and that was designated for community members.
That's it. As far as I know, we don't have that, but that is a great idea, and I will take that back, because I think that's a great idea. I think the other thing that we're trying to do is bring the campus to the community, and have a lot more kind of building and space and operations located within Arcata and
Eureka.
So you
see the kids running around and doing.
Absolutely, that we have services, that we have classes, that we have other activities that aren't just on the kind of the sort of regular campus, but that campus extends throughout the community. So you kind of, my hope would be, and I know this is the president's hope too, is that, you know, it starts to blur the lines between what's campus and what's community, that we integrate ourselves. And I think that would be helpful for everybody.
We are community.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, that's a kumbaya way to end
the
week. See? Oh, you're getting to me. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
See everybody on Monday.